Bibles, I want you to turn with me tonight to Proverbs. And to be honest with you, I got started on something in the mountains with our young people the other night. And in all the years we have gone in those retreats, and usually speaking one night at least, I don't know that I've ever sensed a stronger anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. There are different levels of anointing, different volumes of anointing, and sometimes God does it quietly, and sometimes God can do it with a clap of thunder. But God has just really been speaking to my heart about wisdom, wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. And it's been said, I like quick sayings, there's the wise and the unwise, or there's the wise and the otherwise. God wants us to live in godly wisdom. And I thank God for these. I told one of our staff the other day, I said, you know, this is getting to be quite an intellectual campus, because he that winneth souls is wise. I'll try this side over here. He that winneth souls is wise. So when you win people to Jesus, then that's the way to get your doctorate, your heavenly doctorate, win souls to Jesus. And you know, we have been averaging, I don't know what last Sunday, it's not that a number to be spectacular, except I like what Reinhard Bunke said. He's, what is it, we're trying to populate heaven and plunder hell. I like that. Amen. I like what the pastor from Ohio said. He said, we're trying to make as many demons homeless as possible. Praise God. I like that. Praise the Lord. But Proverbs, I don't know where to stop. I'm just going to say a 1 to 10, and I just challenge you between now and Sunday to read between 1 and 10. Because really, as I begin to read through Proverbs, I begin to see that the answer to every area in our life, Proverbs is not a rule book. It's not a have-to-do book. Some people think it's a law book. No, it's a get-smart book. You know, if the GMC people say that you have to have six quarts of oil, and if you run 2 quarts of oil consecutively, you're going to hurt that engine. Now, is that grace or is that law? That's reality. And they're telling you what to do so that machine can operate at maximum. What the Word of God is all about is not to put us in a box to make us unhappy, to make us walk around under condemnation, but God is positioning us to receive His greater blessings. And let me tell you something. I don't know how to say it, but something has happened in my heart in the last few days. While we were up in the mountains, this church is getting ready to see things we've never seen before. We're getting ready to experience a power that we've never experienced before. We're getting ready to, I know we've gone out to witness and win, but we're going to see some bringing them in a stronger way, stronger than ever before. The numbers we mentioned tonight are not frivolously thrown out there. They are carefully counted. And people process these numbers. And when several thousand people have been witnessed to, God Almighty is happy about that. Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, I know some people say, well, I thought he came to do healings and miracles. He did. But his primary purpose was to seek and to save that which was lost. But here's the thing. You know, if God's word says you need to operate with 6 quarts of oil, and you're operating with 1 quart of oil, you're like a music director I used to have. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But that's when we were downtown, and he bought a lovely Lincoln automobile from Holiday, I believe it was Holiday, Lincoln and Mercury. And he drove that car for about a year and a half. And one day he called me from the dealership. He said, my engine froze up. I said, what? I said, that's a practically a brand new car. What's the deal? He said, well, they say that the oil, something's wrong with the oil. I said, well, you change it regularly, don't you? He said, no, I just add it. Of course, that's when cars used a little more oil than some of them are using now. All he did was add. He never changed. He never had fresh oil. Oh, what does the Word of God say about the wineskins? What does the Word of God say about the wineskins? You know, I thank God for all the gospel you can get through a flat screen TV and all the ways the Word of God goes. I'm not knocking that. But I heard the Baptist pastor, First Baptist in Dallas, he said, I'm concerned and I'm telling our people, we have forgotten, we've overlooked the fact that we need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's something about rubbing elbows with somebody just like you that you need to happen. It sharpens our faith. And if that's the only way, praise God, that's the only way. No criticism there. But, oh, folks, we need one another. We need to be here on a Sunday morning and see that harvest of souls coming in. Man, if that doesn't move your heart, you got a heart of stone, and you don't. You're a heart people. But it all comes back to wisdom. Amen. It all comes back to wisdom. And here's the thing. You go to school, you get information. You get information on what to do in various fields, but you need more than information to be a success in life. You need godly wisdom. And it's amazing how many people have degrees that don't have enough sense to tie their shoes. They don't know how to interact with people. Their personalities, I was around two or three situations here recently. Bless their hearts. They're very brilliant people, but they're very awkward in their personality. They don't know how to relate to people. Amen. I was, where was I? In a store, a telephone store. And I closed my cargo little thing on my phone charger. And I thought something was holding it back, so I gave it a good Texas, you know, that's the way us men do. You know, if it won't shut, we'll put some pressure on it. And then I looked down and saw what I'd done. I just messed up my phone charger. Well, I went in to get another one. And this little girl wasn't too tall. She wasn't too, I mean, she's kind of skinny. She wasn't too tall. And really, she's just kind of plain. But I'm telling you, when she started talking about her product, she just would shine. And I kind of watched her with someone before she got to me. And she had such a pleasant way and communicated and just reached out. And something intrigued me. I said, that girl's communicating. She's listening. She's understanding. She's making contact with these people. And when she got to me, I mean, she put the same charm. You know, it wasn't a flirtatious thing. She was taking care of business. You see, she had wisdom in interrelationships. She had wisdom to know how to sell. You don't go out to sell and say, you don't want what I got, do you? No. There's an art to salesmanship. There's an art to selling things. There's an art to making people want what you have. It's the Baskin-Robbins principle or the marble slab principle. You get one and lick it out front door until everybody wants to come in and get one and lick one. When they see you enjoying your ice cream, they're going after some of their own. Even if it's cold. I was amazed, isn't it? It's cold. It made me cold just looking at people eating ice cream. But there's people out there just licking the fire out of those cones out in the middle of that cold. And I almost felt the flesh rise up. But I didn't. But you see, universities, courses, ways that we enrich ourselves, to learn about things. We get information, but Church of the Living God, we need more than, yes, the Bible is a book of information, but the Bible is a book of wisdom, godly wisdom. And the Bible said wisdom is the profitable, wisdom is the principal thing. With all thy getting, get wisdom. Search it out, find it, embrace it, read it, believe it if it's true wisdom. Amen. And so the Bible said here in Proverbs, I just put my finger almost anywhere in the first few verses. Proverbs chapter 1, the Proverbs of Solomon the son. Solomon the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Boy, I see this as a pastor over and over again. You tell a wise man something, he'll say, "Thank you, Pastor, for calling that to my attention." Someone that's stuck on themselves, or someone's full of pride, or, you know, they got a burr under their saddle, boy, they'll bristle up. Don't tell me what to do. I mean, they may not say it, but you can read it on their face. But a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's hard to tell a fool anything. I'm not being unkind, but let me tell you something. When I started in the ministry, I knew I had a lot to learn. And I mean, I would ask questions. And when you pick someone at the airport, I mean, our people know you don't talk their head off. I mean, you know, that's one courtesy you give a guest coming in. I mean, you could ask them for the whole Bible interpretation, but you got to give them a little peace, a little quiet. But it's okay to ask a good question or two, and I did that along the way. But, you know, as a young preacher, man, I was asking questions. I want to know, why do you do this? What's happening? Well, what about this? What about that? What would you say to me? What do you see in me that needs to change? Because God blessed me to be around a number of ministries in the early days of my ministry that were a real blessing. Well, it said, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Unfortunately, everybody doesn't have a wise father and a wise mother. But you know, regardless of how wise or unwise they are, there's some kind of wisdom in them. In fact, I like what Pastor Tony over in Dallas, he said, no matter how dysfunctional your parents were or whoever got together, God used them to get you here. I think that's a word of wisdom right there. It said, there'll be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Good chains, ornamental chains, gold chains, silver chains. My son, if sinners entice thee. Oh, here's a word. The penitentiary is full of people that need verse 10. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Just don't do it. If somebody wrong wants you to do something wrong, you just say no. How many ways do you need to understand no? No! I don't do that. I used to do that, but I don't do that anymore. If they say, "Come with us, let us wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those who go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, and we'll fill our houses with spoil, and we'll go to the pawn shop, and we'll get rich." A lot of people are suffering burglaries. Thousands of dollars worth of stuff is stolen that somebody got $100 for, maybe, from the pawn shop. Could have been shot in the process, could be caught, and they will be caught sooner or later. But they said, "Cast your lot among..." I'm going to get to the shouting side here in a minute. "Cast thy lot among us, and let us all have one purse." Doesn't that sound like the world? "My son, walk not thou in the way..." Ooh, "Walk thou not in the way with them." Don't walk with them. My best friend's a real sinner. You and your friend both need to get saved. Amen. "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Let me read three or four more verses, and I could read, but this gives you a foundation. "For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed innocent blood. Surely in vain the net is sprayed in the sight of any bird." You don't put a trap out in the front of a bird, but they lay wait for their own blood, and they lurk privately for their own lives. "So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. A lot of murdering, a lot of hurt is going on. Wisdom, listen to this. I'm in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. You say, I can't find wisdom. Sure you can. Really, wisdom's everywhere. If you listen, it's in the pulpit, it's in life, it's in school, it's in people that have wisdom in their own life. She cries in the chief place, the concourse, the openings. And let me just go to verse 23 and we won't read it anymore for a while. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words to you. You know what it's saying here? Son, my dad said this so often, I can hear him. Son, boys, listen. Boys, listen to me. Listen up, boys, listen to me. Listen to dad. Listen and you won't get in trouble. Listen and things will go better in your life. Listen and your schoolwork will. Boy, listen. Listen. And that's what the Word of God is saying, folks. Every time you open your Bible, that's why so many people don't want to read their Bible. The Bible says, listen, son, daughter, listen. He said, why should I listen? Because everything you need's in this book. Everything you need. I know you've got to mix it with faith. I understand that. And I love the whole Bible. It's written in the volume book. But you see, That's why I say thank God for these electronic gadgets. They're wonderful. I'm not knocking that. But every once in a while, I don't get to say that to someone coming into the pulpit. But I don't care what you bring into the pulpit with you. Bring one of these. I say that to the staff. Let people see the Word of God. Let people see the Word of God. Hallelujah. You won't get a bad game out of this. You won't be able to be doing or saying some things you shouldn't be in here. This book will bite you if you do the wrong thing, you know. It'll help you. Now, here's what I want to say. Here's what the Bible. You know, I've tried to help some people this last year, and boy, this last year has been a challenge. Thank God it's gone, and we're into this new year. But I was in prayer the other day, and that's when God directed me to the Proverbs. I just happened to read a chapter from Proverbs, and I couldn't stop, and I just kept reading until I read about 10 chapters. And God said, son, that's exactly what you as a pastor have tried to do. You said, listen. Listen to me. Lean to me. Listen to me. Just cooperate with me. I mean, you go to the corporate world. You don't lean to your boss. You'll be leaning to unemployment. Your boss may be flaky. He may have strange ideas. Or he or she may not, you know, you may not agree with everything they say. But if you don't agree with the boss, it's just a matter of time till you get a pink slip. And if you don't agree with them, you need to go where you do agree with them, and everything's wonderful, and everybody moves on down the road. But, you know, after you have several conferences with people, and you pour your heart out to them, and you know, I get down on people's level. I don't do it all the time, but I say, look, I've been where you are. I know what you're facing. I've had to make decisions that you must make. Listen to me. Listen, please listen to me. I want things to go good for you. I'm trying to help you. Do you understand? And they give you that blank stare. And it's all I can do to be righteous at that moment. I thought, how stupid can you be and still breathe? When a man of God takes time to sit down and talk to you and pour his heart out to you and even pour out his own personal experiences and say, I've been where you are, and you just give me a, huh? And you're supposed to be smart? Uh-uh. No, that's called dumb. Double D, dumb. Listen. Learn. Receive it in faith. Receive the word. Receive the word and grow and go and increase. I've had a lot of staff over the years, 48 and a half years, you can just imagine. And there are those that would listen and those that wouldn't listen. And those that wouldn't listen are gone because they wouldn't listen. And they've had the same problem down the road they had with me. They wouldn't listen to where they went. If you're going to get along in life, you've got to learn to listen to what is right and make every reasonable effort to do it. Amen. It's like living at home with dad, life goes better when you get along with the boss. That's just the way it is. Amen. Praise God. Now here's what I want to give you. And let's bring our thoughts together. Wisdom is the principal thing. You need it. I need it. You say, well, you've been pastoring all these years. You've been in the ministry all these years. I've had young ministers say, you know it all. No, I don't. I'm still learning. I learn every day I live, everywhere I travel, going overseas, wherever I go. As C.M. Ward said years ago, he was the international speaker for Revival Time. He said, you can learn from a ditch digger how to dig a better ditch. There's something you don't know about digging a ditch. And if you listen to that man, he'll help you to dig ditches a lot easier. You can learn something everywhere you go. You can learn from a man who doesn't have degrees. You can learn from a man who's not as wise as you are. But every man, I haven't said that, but thank you, Lord. Every man is wiser in some way than you are. Every woman is wiser in some ways than you are. And you can learn. Learning's the name of the game. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Here's the way God showed it to me. And I'm just starting on this. I'm just scratching around. And thank you for being a wonderful, willing audience tonight. God is ultimate wisdom. There is no greater. God is wisdom. He invented wisdom. He is wisdom. God is ultimate wisdom. You don't get smarter than God. And that's why the Bible said, in the beginning, God. John starts off that way. Genesis, in the beginning, God. Not even Lucifer. Not even Solomon, who was attributed to being the wisest man in his time. God Almighty is ultimate wisdom. And when I am born again, thank God there's a deposit from heaven in my spirit. And I may not be as wise as I will be, but I've got a good head start on wisdom. Oh, you're receiving good tonight. Yeah, God Almighty is ultimate wisdom. Also, number two, God is the giver of all true wisdom. Crime, pornography, filth, Hollywood, perversion, craziness, all promises to open a world to you that you don't know and promises you that you're going, crime promises you'll drive wheels you could never drive otherwise. You'll have money to spend through drugs that you'll never have otherwise. Hey, don't take the low rung on the ladder. Don't be a slow boat. Steal it. Shoot it. Take it. You know, grab all you can all you grab. Then one day, no matter how smart you are, they're going to catch you, they're going to catch you, they're going to catch you, and they're going to lock you up. And I've had two staff members over these years that have gone to prison who have been on our staff. You know what happened? They were wise in the ways of the world. God saved some of you, a little shock there. There's nobody that I know of right now, but it has happened. And it hurts, man. It hurts. And you see, they lived a life of crime. They did things they shouldn't have done, but they got born again and God changed them. One had three life sentences over his head. And the judge said, you'll never see daylight again. But he got out. And he got saved, I think, in a Joyce Meyer meeting in St. Louis. I believe that's where it happened. And then ultimately, he was giving his testimony, full gospel businessman, and came on our staff. He was our prison minister. And I'll tell you one that'll break your heart when your prison minister goes back to prison. That's the most useless thing in the world. As a dog returns to his vomit. Amen. But you see, Satan comes, and he always tries. I'm going to get to the happy part in a minute, but he always tries to tempt you with your former weaknesses. Amen. He has other things, but he always tries to get you where you move in a little closer, a little quicker. All right? But you see, God is the giver of all true wisdom. And if any man lack, here's what a man needs to do. Let him ask of God. James 1:5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Amen. And when God saves you, God has enough power to bring you out and keep you out. I like what Sears used to say, we service what we sell. They need to put that slogan back on and start doing it again, I'm telling you. Amen. We service what we sell. God is able to keep what he saves. God's never saved anybody. Said, oh, angels, we're calling a board meeting in heaven. We goofed. We missed it. How did we let her or him into the altar call? If God saved you, God has enough grace to whip every demon out of hell, to whip every demon spirit. Oh, there's not a bottle, there's not a pill, there's not a shoot 'em up. Oh, there's nothing that is greater than the power of God. Because God's able to set you free and God's able to keep you free. I find Charlie Pryor's testimony very intriguing. And I know it doesn't happen that way with everyone, although I desire, let's keep believing. But I'll tell you, when God can sober you up and you don't have to go through 12 steps or 15 steps, I mean, do whatever you'd have to do to get out of whatever you're in. That's okay. I'm not against that. But oh, thank God for the miracle working power of God. It can knock the fire out of you on the road to Damascus, take your eyesight, and on the ground you look up, Lord! Lord! Oh, what must I do to be saved, Lord? You start saying, Lord, instead of my God. Oh, Lord. Whew. So, number one, God Almighty is ultimate wisdom. God is the giver of all true wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask or her ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. We have not because we ask not. We ask, God gives. I like what Dr. John R. Rice said. He said, prayer is asking and the answer to prayer is receiving. That's strong for a good Baptist. A lot of charismatics need to pick up on that too. Prayer is asking. The answer to prayer is receiving. Praise God. Now, I want you to write this down. How do we receive wisdom? Well, let me give you some ways you receive the wisdom of God. Is that all right? And I'll just simply say this. If I said, what's your need? What's your need? If we had 50 people respond, 100 people respond, well, this is my need. Your need is described somewhere in the Proverbs. Somewhere in the Proverbs, there's wisdom and there's power to set you free and to keep you free. In your finances, in favor, in health, in every way. But here, how do we get into this wisdom thing? Well, let me tell you. First of all, how do we get the wisdom of God? How do we grow in wisdom? Through learning from previous experiences. Write that down. By learning from previous experiences. I've done some things that I'm not going to do anymore. I know better. But that's the problem. If I get full of the wrong thing, I'm liable to do what I know better than to do. Profit from your past experiences. There's things I've experienced in the ministry. You know, some people wonder why I do certain things a certain way, because I've had certain experiences and I know what works for me and I know what doesn't work. When I see certain behavior patterns, when I see hear people say certain words, when I see that look on some, you know, when you see an adult roll their eyes like they're teenagers, you know something's not quite right. Did I earn my wings tonight, Lord? I didn't hear a bell. Maybe I need to work on that a little bit more. That's Clarence in It's a Wonderful Life, you remember? The bell rang. Don't roll your eyes when God gives you wisdom. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So learn from previous experiences. You know, I heard Creflo Dollar last night in the minister's conference out at the mountain, and he was talking about, he said, I preached on getting out of debt, and he said, almost our entire church got out of debt, and he said, that's been a while, and he said, I noticed some people getting choked up on their giving, and he said, I asked for a show of hands, how many people are back in debt? And he said, about 90% of my people are back in debt. So he said, I've had to preach a lot of grace and say, look, if you'll purpose this time to get out and stay out, God will bring you out again. Why are you so quiet? I mean, the credit card people just love you until you can't make payments. They just love you. Oh, they say, they always want me to combine balances. And I said, the only problem I got is I pay them by the month. Amen. I don't have anything to combine with you. And every time you change one, you pay more interest. Every time you make a move, you pay more interest. Every time you make one of those moves of greed, I'll talk it to them, man. This is too good to be true. They're saying, I got you again. And he said, a high 90% of my people are back in debt, church people back in debt again. So what God's telling us, learn from experience. We've all done something and then turned around and done something again that we shouldn't have done because we wanted some wheels or we wanted to wear some clothes we couldn't afford or, you know, whatever. But that's not in the notes. How did I get on that? But anyway, we learn from previous experiences what to do and what not to do. We also learn, and this is what I'm saying all night long, we learn through His Word. I mean, some nonsensical thing was working on causing fear in me here a few weeks ago. Something I knew better. I'd been there God knows how many times. But I mean, you know, it's kind of like too many noises and too much stuff happening and all of a sudden, you know, duh. You have to watch it and keep your spiritual equilibrium. Keep your focus. Don't let anything get your focus off of faith. Don't let anything get your focus off the Word of God. Are you listening to Pastor Nichols? No, I mean, keep your focus on the Word of God. And I mean, I opened my Bible, so help me God. It said, fear thou not. I said, yes, sir. See, God knew what I was battling. Now, I don't admonish learning wisdom by the kaplunk system. You open your Bible and stick your finger on it because there's one verse that said Judas went out and hanged himself. There's another verse that said go down and do likewise. How many times have you looked in the Word of God, it says, oh, that's kind of foolish. No, it's not foolish to me. You couldn't drag me into Egypt. You ask Brother Charlie, I've had people get aggravated at me on trips. I mean, we went once. And, of course, there were things that happened with Janet that year, and I didn't go. But, you know, how many times does the Bible say, go not down to Egypt? The only time you go to Egypt is when God says to. And you better know God says to. The Bible plainly says, you say, boy, you're a literalist. Leave me alone. I'm not going to Egypt. You can go to Egypt if you want to, honey. It's not a good time to go to Egypt right now, but I mean, when they said it's better than it's ever been, it's peaceful, they're tourist friendly. That's okay. I go not down to Egypt. Because the Bible says go not down to Egypt. You know, there are many other things in the Word of God. You know, the Bible said, don't get into strife. If the Bible says, don't lie, don't sin, don't get into strife. You know what's wrong with churches today? We got as much sin in the church. You know, we fuss about the topless bars and the nightclubs and, you know, the girly things and all that. You know, there are so many people in churches that are not looking at the right thing, not saying the right thing, gossiping, crosswise with churches, crosswise with pastors. And I'm going to tell you something. I have more respect for a drug dealer, I have more respect for an alcoholic than I do for a gossiper or someone that's a strife monger. Because you can sober up from liquor, and if someone tie you to a tree and keep you away from drugs, they can keep you out there for a while. But you can't shut up a strife monger. Man, they get that set jaw. And I heard that I heard that I heard that I heard that I heard. And I mean, they're hell to deal with. And the problem is that I can handle it, but little sheep can't handle it. And other people can't handle it. And you infect, that's like HIV. It infects others. And you know, I was just, boy, you say you're getting sick. Yeah, I am. Someone's got to preach this stuff. If the church doesn't wake up and if pastors don't wake up and start giving some strong meat out, churches are in trouble. Here in the sixth chapter, look here. Now, look. Yeah, thank you. Let me let you clap all together. That's good. I appreciate that. In the sixth chapter of Proverbs, I'm not mad at anybody tonight. I just have a bleeding heart to see people set free. It says here in Proverbs, the sixth chapter, verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Duh. If God hates six, yea, seven things, do you think something could be wrong with these things? Church, wake up with me. Come on. Do you think there might be some reason why God hates these things? What does God hate? He doesn't only hate them. It said seven, they're an abomination unto him. I'm still going to get to the shouting part here in just a minute. A proud look. Mm-hmm. A lying tongue. Do Christians always tell the truth? Uh-uh. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. God wants our hearts to be cleansed and stay cleansed. Feet that are swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. I tell you, I've had so many letters over the years. It took them a while to wake up. Sometimes it took years. Sometimes it didn't take but a few days or a few weeks or a few months. I've had people write me letters back and ask my forgiveness. They said, I had no earthly idea what I was involved with when I was there. Please forgive me. Does that mean I'm right about everything? Absolutely not. I'm a human being. But you know, God's authority in your life is either listened to your own blessing or ignored to your own detriment. There's got to be a returning to the respect of the word of a man of God. I mean, there are people that take the word of a man on television over the word of their own pastor. You know who I am. You know where I live. You know who I sleep with. You know everything about me. If you don't, you're not real swift. I mean, our lives are open books. And there's people that will receive doctrines from out of state, off-the-wall stuff, strange stuff, the latest book that's out, contradicting everything that moves. I'll tell you, I found my success in staying with basic teachings of God's Word. The basics will see you through. To live clean and pure will see you through. If you mess up, ask forgiveness. God will see you through. If you're condemned, call upon the name of the Lord. There is no condemnation. Win souls. Live by faith. Giving and tithing and first fruits. It's not law to me. I get to do it. I mean, Joe and I, we love to give. We're givers. It's a spirit that's in us. Amen. But it said, he that soweth discord among brethren. Oh, I tell you, I don't want to stay there because I could write a book on people that have violated these things, these seven things. And you say, does God go around slapping people? No, you put yourself in harm's way. When you read the word of God, you stay free. You live free. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. What you don't understand, just move on down the road. Who you don't understand, pray for them and commit them to God. Amen. You say, well, I'm having trouble forgiving. Well, I'll tell you what I do. Father, in the name of Jesus, as a faith act of my will, I release total, complete forgiveness unto him or her or them in the name of Jesus. They're not going to steal my blessing. They're not going to steal my blessing. Amen. Some pastor done you wrong, forgive him. Some deacon done you wrong, forgive him. I'm not saying they're right, but just forgive them. Pray for them. Hallelujah. So through his word, when you read something, say God meant what he said and said what he meant. And I've already jumped over to my third point there, through his anointed teachers and pastors and teachers and ministers. I may not say it as eloquently. I may not say it, as smooth or whatever it may be. But do I tell you the truth? Do I give you I have a clear conscience. We've given you the diet of God's word in this church through his anointed pastors, teachers, ministers. And you know, young people, even through our parents, Now, I know occasionally there's a parent that people have to bloom regardless of where they came from. But I've watched, I know there's people in this church that their parents weren't all they should have been, but they honored them, they loved them, they send them cards on, you know, like Father's Day or Mother's Day, birthday, and they honor them and tell them they love them. And it's amazing some of the miracles that have happened in reconciliation just because people honored their parents. And you notice the language here, my son, listen, my son, son, daughter, listen. Don't do that. Well, I've already jumped to the last point here. Through the inward witness that is in us. Through the inward witness that is in us. You know, basically, every way we've blown it, there was some kind of a railroad crossing inside of us saying, don't do it. Don't say it. Don't say that. Because when you're born again, you can call it a chip or you can call it a deposit of God that is in you. The wisdom of God is in you. The direction of God is within you. Amen. And God will, you say, does that mean every step we take? No, I'm not saying we're perfect. But in the mainstream, we know what to do and we know what not to do. Did you ever buy something that something inside of you said, don't do that? But it's 50% off. Honey, nothing's a bargain. $400. Don't buy it. If God says don't buy it, don't go there. If God says don't go there, I am right. Amen. Thank you. I mean, there's an inward witness. God will tell women what to do and what not to do. God will tell men what to do and what not. What's good for you? And you know, God's not trying to steal your fun. God came through His Son to give you life and that more abundantly. He doesn't mind you having things or buying things or being a part of things as long as that doesn't come between you and God. But if it comes between you and God, that's not good. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. I believe in prosperity, but not prosperity that's contrary to the Word of God. You know, the Bible, and I believe in prosperity. The problem with so many believers that get into prosperity, when they didn't have a car and someone had to pick them up and drive them to church, they didn't miss a service. Now they got three cars in the driveway and they sleep in or they watch pistol smoke or football or whatever. Folks, have the things that we've accumulated separated us from God, put distance between us and God, or have they drawn us closer to the Lord? I don't want anything that'll take me further away from the very center of God. In fact, Proverbs, I don't have the verse, but it said, give me convenient bread. Don't let me be so poor that I'm tempted to steal. And don't let me be so rich that I forget values, you know, godly values. Lord, I'm not asking for you. But you know what God's talking about? If you want to take a vacation, you can do it. If there's something you need to buy, you can buy it. It's okay. Because it's not going to separate you. It's not going to give you a problem. Amen. God's not against you having things, but God doesn't want things to keep you from having God's best. Well, you know, if we'll listen, let me tell you, the biggest challenge that Pastor Bob Nichols has is to get quiet before God and have quality, quiet time, because when you listen, God speaks. And I've learned when you pray, always have a legal pad or some kind of a notebook. When you read the Bible or when you pray, and the best time to communicate with God is early in the morning before the dogs start barking and the phones start ringing and, you know, the family needs this and the family needs that. Get you a quiet place. Get quiet before God. And you say, man, yes, Lord. I hear people say, but I'm bored. It's not that I don't love God. It's not that I don't love the things of God. But it just seems like life is so boring and life is so bland. It seems like I'm missing out on something. It seems like I'm missing and I don't know which way to go. But the Spirit of the Lord would say, make a new resolve in your heart tonight to put me first. Put me first in your mind. Put me first in your time. Put me first in your finances. Put me first in your love. And watch by degrees the power of my Spirit within you bringing new life, new vitality, new visions, new dreams, new understandings. It's not over. It's just beginning, saith the Lord. If you'll make me to be number one in your life and seek my wisdom. Stand to your feet if you will. Praise be unto God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise. Did you get anything out of the Word of God tonight?